श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्णा। I just came from China last night, long travels, 20 hours on the plane. I came on Suvas Prabhu's invitation. We had met in Mayapur, and Prabhuji has become very serious, as he always is in his devotional service to Srila Prabhupada. And understanding the nature of the Mayapur temple, since Prabhuji is always spending a lot of time there during the Gaur Purnima festival, he actually invited me here to Los Angeles. He said, come to LA and we will see what we can do in Southern California to help build the TOVP, the Mayapur temple, the dream temple of Srila Prabhupada. And this is a great amount of assurance for a small devotee like myself who is endeavoring helplessly trying to collect funds and build this big temple. So I took my flight. I was on business in China, and I was also doing some preaching in Mumbai. So I'm here, but not expecting that Prabhuji would sit me here on this hot seat this morning. Okay, so that makes the seat even hotter. Anyway, I came to America first when I was 23 years of age, almost 37, 38 years ago. And I was right here in this temple as a brahmachari. And then I came again on Prabhuji's invitation as the life membership director 21 years ago. And I lived here for 3 years, took shelter of Shri Shri Rukmani Dwarkadhish. And those were wonderful days of being here in the community. And now I see myself coming back again after 20 years, full circle. At that time, I was invited to serve as the director and developer of the community here in Los Angeles. And now I am here in front of their lordships and the resident devotees of Rukmini Dwarkadhish Dham, again begging, but this time as a beggar, for building Sri Dham Mayapur Mandir. I am here as a representative of Mayapur. So this is the full circle of life, and this I consider a very auspicious indication. When life goes in a circle, then that is very auspicious. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he left the holy dham of Vrindavan to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western country. And then after becoming successful in America, he went right back to the holy dham, to Sri Dham Vrindavan. And especially, he had a great deep desire to develop Sri Dham Mayapur, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, whose glories he was bringing to the Western world. And we will talk about that later in class. I just want to mention there is a great Muslim poet in India. His name is Rahim, and he was a great Vaishnava. He was also the chief of the army staff of Akbar. And being a great Vaishnava, in one of his poetries he says that the translation is that the crow and the cuckoo bird, they both look alike, but only in the spring season you can tell which one is a crow and which one is the cuckoo bird, because in the spring both of them have a tendency to speak. So in their speaking they can be told what classification they fall into, whether they are a crow or a cuckoo bird. So Sura Prabhu this morning was saying that, hey, you're a big shot, so now that I'm on the hot seat, you will be able to tell whether I'm a cuckoo bird or a crow. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from Canto 8, Chapter 5, Text 24. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Iti Abhyasa Suran Veda. Saha Devai Arindamam. Ajitasya Padam. Sakshaj Jagama Tamasa Param. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Iti Abhyasa Suran Veda. Saha Devair Arindamam. Ajitasya Padam Sakshaj Jagama Tamasa Param. Devair Arindamam Padam Sakshaj Iti Abhyasa Suran Veda Saha Devair Arindama. Ladies. Jagama Tamasa Param. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Iti, thus, Abhyasa, talking, Suran, unto the demigods, Veda, Lord Brahma, who is the head of this universe, and who gives everyone good sense in Vedic knowledge. Saha, with Devai, the demigods, Arim Dama, O Maharaj Parikshit, subduer of all kinds of enemies, such as the senses, Ajitasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Padam, to the place, Sakshat, directly, Jagama, went, Tamasa, the world of darkness, Param, transcendental to beyond. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, O Maharaj Parikshit, I'll read first and then we will. O Maharaj Parikshit, subduer of all enemies, after Lord Brahma finished speaking to the demigods, he took them with him to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is beyond this material world. The Lord's abode is on an island called Swetadweep, which is situated in the ocean of milk. I will just go on with the purports because we have much to say about Mayapur also. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit is addressed here as Arindama, subduer of all enemies. Not only do we have enemies outside of our bodies, but within our bodies there are many enemies, such as lusty desires, anger, and greed. Maharaj Parikshit is specifically addressed as Arindama because in his political life he was able to subdue all kinds of enemies. And even though he was a young king, as soon as he heard that he was going to die within 7 days, he immediately left his kingdom. He did not follow the dictates of enemies within his body, such as lust, greed, and anger. He was not at all angry with the Muni's son who had cursed him. Rather, he accepted the curse and prepared for his death in the association of Sukadev Goswami. Death is inevitable. No one can surpass the forces of death. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit, while fully alive, wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He is consequently addressed here as Arindama. In this regard, there is a story that I had heard from one sadhu. There was a king, and he had a very wise and a Krishna devotee minister. So every time the king would make a remark to the minister, to his prime minister, that today such and such thing happened in his life, the prime minister would say, O king, whatever happens, happens for the good. So the king, if something good had happened in his life, he would like that. So one day, the king was helping his wife in the royal kitchen, and while cutting sabji, he cut his finger. And that day in court, he said to his prime minister, he said, O prime minister, today I was helping this morning my wife in the kitchen, and look, I cut my finger. So to that, the prime minister remarked, as usual, whatever happens, happens for the good. And that the king could not take. He became very angry. He said, I cut my finger. I am being pained so much, and you're making such a nasty remark that whatever happens, happens for the good. And immediately in that anger, the king, he told his soldiers to put the prime minister in prison. He said, put him in prison. He's a useless fellow. And so he was imprisoned. And that evening, the king was scheduled to go hunting with the prime minister in the forest. So because the prime minister, of course, was imprisoned, therefore the king had to go all by himself. So he was on his horse and he went very deep into the forest looking for animals to hunt. And it became very dark. And because he was alone, he got caught by cannibals on the border of his kingdom who did not recognize who the king was. And that night was a dark night, and the cannibals, they were looking for a human being to sacrifice to Kali. And of course, they hadn't found anyone, and they found this king on the horse. So they caught him, and they said, okay, now we are going to sacrifice you because you're the only one we have caught. And the king got very worried. He said, I am here alone, and these people are going to kill me. So the custom is that when you make a human sacrifice, the entire body is to be checked. And if there is any bruise or cut or anything in the body, then that body is not put to sacrifice to goddess Kali. So then, of course, the king was stripped naked, and one person was told to check him out. And while he was checking his body, he noticed that his finger was cut from the morning's incident. So because of that, the king was allowed to go. He said, today we cannot do our sacrifice. We will wait till the next dark moon night. And the king came back to his kingdom. And next morning, with great respect, he brought the prime minister back into the court and apologized to him. And he said, what you said was completely correct. Whatever happens, happens for the good. This morning I couldn't understand it, and so I became angry. But if I had not cut my finger, my neck would be cut this night. So it is a fact that whatever happens, happens for the good. So this story I'm telling you in the same prasanga, where Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by the Brahmin boy. And as a king, he could have retaliated. He could have become agitated or angry or done something. But he took that as the will of the Lord. Same thing, whatever happens, happens for the good. But only a person who has spiritual vision, vision that Krishna has his hands in every act of our lives, every minute of our lives, such a person can accept this phenomenon. So the king, he called him back and he apologized and he said, you were right. I'm going to try to believe in you that whatever happens, happens for the good. But before that, I have one question. That I cut my finger was good because it saved my life. But I put you in jail. How was that good for you? And the prime minister quietly remarked, he said, if you had not put me in jail, then I would be the one who would be sacrificed because I have no cuts on my body. So whatever happens, happens for the good. So I was just reminded of this little story I had heard from a sadhu in Vrindavan. Another word, Sura Priya, is also significant. Although Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is equal towards everyone, he is specially inclined toward his devotee. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te tesu chapi aham. The devotees are all demigods. There are two kinds of men within this world. One is called the deva and the other is called the asura. The Padma Purana says, dvau bhuta sargau loke asmin daiva asura evacha vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asuras tad vipar yayaha. Anyone who is a devotee of Lord Krishna is called a deva. And others, even though they may be devotees of demigods, are called asuras. Ravana, for example, was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but he is described as an asura. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu is described as a great devotee of Lord Brahma, but he was also an asura. Therefore, only the devotees of Lord Vishnu is called sura, not asura. Lord Krishna is very much pleased with his devotees. Even if they are not on the topmost stage of devotional service, even on the lower stage of devotional service, one is transcendental, and if one continues with devotional life, he continues to be a deva or sura. If one continues in this way, Krishna will always be pleased with him and will give him all instructions so that he may very easily return home back to Godhead. Concerning Ajitasya Padam, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the milk ocean of this material world, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, padam shiro dadhistha sweta dvipam tapasa prakrite param. The island known as Sweta Dvip, which is in the ocean of milk, is transcendental. It has nothing to do with the material world. A city government may have a rest house where the governor is where the governor and important government officers stay. Such a rest house is not an ordinary house. Similarly, although Sweta Dvip, which is in the ocean of milk, is in this material world, it is param padam, transcendental. Ukam karoti vachalam pangulam gahite girim tatkripatamaham bandhe shri gurundinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram namam vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimati tamal krishna goswami iti namine namam vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swami iti namine namaste saraswati devam gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschitta deshatarine. So here, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, of course, the translation here, the suras, the demigods, are taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The asuras, due to the curse of Durvasa Muni, have defeated the demigods. The demigods have lost their heavenly planets. They're completely defeated. So, but because they are suras, they are devotees of Krishna, then immediately, what do? They go to their higher authority, their spiritual guru, Lord Brahma, and on his advice and help, they take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Sweta Dvip. So this is the shloka for the day, the translation. And here Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, is concluding that of all the devotees, we can be taking shelter of so many higher authorities and demigods, but yet a living entity cannot be classified as sura unless and until he takes shelter of the one and only Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. Only then the living entity's life becomes auspicious and he becomes classified as sura, as a demigod, as a real bhakta. And Prabhupada is giving examples of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu. The Ravana, he had worshipped Lord Shiva by putting his head, he would cut his heads and throw them in the fire as oblation to please Lord Shiva. And again he was doing that. And then finally Lord Shiva became pleased and then appeared to him and gave him the boon to become the king of Lanka and become so powerful. So, in this connection in the Ramayana, it is mentioned that what Ravana got by giving his heads again and again to Lord Shiva was easily gotten by Bhivishan, the younger brother of Ravana, easily gotten. Because when Bhivishan went and took shelter of Lord Ram, while Ram was preparing for war with Ravana, he simply took shelter. And when he went there, then all the ministers, all the monkeys, they advised Lord Ram against giving him shelter. They said, look, this is the time of the war. You have to be very careful. You cannot just blindly give shelter to anybody who makes a show of surrender. After all, he is the brother of your greatest enemy right now. And he's coming here. He could be here to harm you. And Lord Ram did not listen. He said, no, this is my pratigya. This is my vow. That anyone who even says with his mouth, even not meaningly, if he says that I take shelter of you, Ram, I immediately give him shelter. And therefore, I will give shelter to Bhivishan. And so one of the monkey leaders, of course, they were also monkeys, so they said, and what if Ravana comes to you right now? And he just says with his mouth that, oh Ram, I take shelter. Because when Bhivishan came, not only Ram gave him shelter, But immediately right there, Lord Ram crowned him as the king of Lanka. He said, you are the king of Lanka. I will definitely defeat your brother Ravana, and you are the next king. So to this, the ministers got a little upset. They said, what are you doing? You're making this man who could be your enemy the king of Lanka. What if Ravana came to you right now and he said the same thing, that, oh Ram, I surrender to you. What would you do to him? And Ram said, I will make him king of Ayodhya if he surrenders to me. This is our supreme personality of Godhead. This is the reason why great saintly people of India, our Srila Prabhupada, he sailed the seven seas to come here to show us, to teach us who to take shelter of. Who is that magnanimous personality in the three worlds who can be, who can behave in such a manner? Give the kingdom, give his own kingdom to his own enemy. This is Lord Ram. And therefore in the Ramayana, in one place it is mentioned that what it is understood that Lord Shiva is one of the greatest demigods, and he's very easily pleased. He is called Asutosha. Asutosh means one who becomes pleased very, very quickly and easily. And therefore, materialistic people, they always go to Lord Shiva because they know very easily they could get any kind of boon from him. So Ravana also, knowing the nature of Lord Shiva, he wanted to become the most powerful king on the earthly planet. And therefore, he was doing all kinds of sacrifices to please Lord Shiva. But what Ravana wanted, Lord Shiva was not appearing to give him the boon. And therefore, Ravana started to cut his head and put it in the fire. After many times cutting his head, finally Lord Shiva appeared and made him the king of Lanka and gave him all the boons that he desired. So in the Ramayana, it is mentioned that what Shiva gave to Ravana by cutting his head and putting in the oblation, Ram gave to Bibhishan without anything, just by saying that I surrender to you. The same kingdom, the same power was given to Bibhishan by Lord Ram so easily. And not only that, it is mentioned in the Ramayana that while Lord Ram was making Bibhishan the king of Lanka, he was feeling great hesitation that this living entity has surrendered to me, but in return, I am not giving him enough. Lord, that king of Lanka is not enough of a gift for my devotee Bibhishan. So such is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is why Srila Prabhupada, our scriptures, our acharyas, they are taking us through this forest of all these millions of demigods with so much power and potency and ability to give us so many gifts, but they're taking us to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are teaching us that in this very short life that we human beings have, the only thing we should be doing is single-pointed attention and devotion to the Supreme Lord, Lord Sri Krishna's lotus feet. And for this very reason, Lord Krishna in Kali Yuga, he appeared again. He appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a nice story I heard from a sadhu again in Vrindavan, and I will relate to you. I do not know scriptural evidence, but sometimes these sadhus have great stories. One time, Srimati Radharani, she was little and she was invited to Nandagaon by Mother Yashoda to spend the night there. Mother Yashoda used to love Radharani very much, and Radharani with her sakhis would visit many times, but never she had spent the evening in Nandagaon. So this time on special invitation, Brishbhanu Baba and Kirti Maya, they sent Radharani with a few friends to spend the night with Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda gave a lot of pampering and love to Radharani, and she kept her in Nandagaon at the palace. And next morning, when Radharani woke up, she was walking around the courtyard. For those of you who've been to Nandagaon Palace, on top is a huge, wide courtyard all around the temple. And she saw that are on one of the gates of the courtyard, Lord Krishna, little Krishna, and Nanda Baba, they were sitting on an asan and they were giving gifts to beggars, alms, anything the beggars wanted, clothing, food, whatever. And there was a very long line of very poor people who were begging, and every morning they would give their mercy to these people. And that pleased Radharani very much to see how Lord Krishna was giving with his little hands. He was giving his mercy to these people. But then she noticed something. She noticed that there were one or two beggars in the line who were so poor, who were so wretched, that they did not even have a container, a patra. They didn't even have a container in which to take some of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And when they were coming and they were being approached, then Lord Krishna was pulling them aside and telling them, go bring something so that I can put my kripa, my dan in some patra. You have no container, you have nothing to hold it. So they were being sent back. And Radharani, when she saw this, she did not like it. So on returning back to Brijbhan Baba, to Varshana, Brijbhan Baba and Kirti Maya, they inquired about how she had enjoyed her stay. And she reported that everything was wonderful, except for what she had seen. She said, Baba, I saw that Lord Krishna was distributing his mercy early in the morning to so many beggars. But one thing I did not like, and I want you to go back and tell them this, that for those who did not have a container, who did not have a patra, they were being sent back. They should also be given the same mercy as for those who had the containers. And Brijbhana Baba said, but Lali, how is that possible? If you have no qualification, if you have no patra, if you have no container, how is Lord Krishna going to put his kripa, his mercy? And she insisted, she was a child. She said, no, he must somehow or the other treat all of them equally and give them his mercy also. You go back right now and tell the story to them. So she was a child, he had to go back, and Nanda Baba and Krishna were sitting there, and he went and said, look, my Lali has sent me back, and this is what she's saying, that when you're distributing your mercy in the morning, you must give to everybody, you must not discriminate that this one has the qualification to heaven and this one has no patra, no container. So Nanda Baba, of course, he laughed at the childish behavior of Radharani. But Lord Krishna, when he heard this mood of Srimati Radharani, this compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani, Krishna closed his eyes and he meditated on the condition of Radharani's heart. How compassionate my dear Srimati Radharani is, that she noticed this subtlety. She wants me to give my mercy to every living entity, irrespective of the fact whether they have the qualification to receive the mercy or not to receive the mercy. And closing his eyes, he made a sankalpa that I definitely wish to take another incarnation in which I will incarnate myself in the mood of Srimati Radharani, in this compassionate mood. And that was our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was him. He came, Lord Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that compassionate mood of Srimati Radharani to indiscriminately distribute his mercy to every living entity of Kali Yuga who definitely has no patra, has no container, has no qualification at all to receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the acharyas of our sampradaya are so magnanimously, they are bringing to the people of the world. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj wanted. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. He took his greatest associates, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, his dearest brother, Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, and he sent them far and wide. He loved their association. They could have all stayed in Jagannath Puri. But he said, no, we have a job to do. We have some work to do in Kali Yuga. All of you go and establish the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Go give the compassion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to every living entity of the world. for they have no qualification to receive it, but you must go out and endeavor. Go and establish Sri Vrindavan Dham. Go write books. He told Nityananda Prabhu, go back to Bengal. Go and preach the Harinam. Go give this Harinam to every living entity, irrespective of the fact whether he has the qualification or doesn't have the qualification. And from Mahaprabhu, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, every acharya has had the same mood of giving, giving the holy name, giving Lord Krishna's mercy to the wretched conditioned souls of this Kali Yuga. And this is our dharma. This is the bhajan of the Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas. This is our bhajan. Our bhajan is not to sit in Vrindavan. Our bhajan is not to be Babaji. Our bhajan is to be in the cities, in the most wretched conditions of this material world, and to give the compassion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to everyone. This is the bhajan of the Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas. And for this, our Srila Prabhupada, he has become the greatest of the acharya, the greatest stalwart devotee, because he took the greatest risk in his life. At the age of 70, which sane Indian Bengali Vaishnav would leave Vrindavan? Who would leave Vrindavan to take a risk to come to a place like America to preach Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Dharma, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita? An impossible task. We can all understand if Srila Prabhupada was to fail in his endeavor to make devotees and establish Krishna consciousness in the Western country, what would be his condition with his god brothers and the residents of Vrindavan? They would laugh at Srila Prabhupada. They would spit on his face. Srila Prabhupada knew that. Srila Prabhupada knew the risk he was taking. But he took the risk, and therefore Krishna made him glorious. Krishna reciprocated with such an acharya, with such a devotee who took such a high risk on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And today, what is Srila Prabhupada's condition? What is the situation? Srila Prabhupada is the only personality in the history of this world that is being worshipped with a ghee lamp 24 hours a day. Anytime you look at your watch, it is 8 o'clock in the morning somewhere in the world, and Srila Prabhupada is being offered ghee lamp. No king, no great personality in this world has been treated in such a way. Who is doing this? This is the gift, the offering of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his devotee who has taken the greatest risk on his behalf. That is what Krishna likes. One saint in India has said that sometimes sacrifice is higher than prayer. Praying to Krishna is very high. But when a devotee sacrifices on behalf of Krishna, that immediately attracts Krishna's attention. Krishna becomes indebted to such a devotee. The gopis were praying to the Lord. They were playing with the Lord. They were worshipping the Lord. They were always singing bhajans of the Lord. And that was all very good. But the Maharas, the greatest gift that Krishna gave to the gopis was the Maharas. And before the Maharas, what was their qualification? The gopis made the greatest sacrifice. When Krishna played the flute in the dead of the night in the forests of Vrindavan, the gopis left their villages. They left their families, their husbands, their fathers, their father-in-laws, their children. They knew that once they leave their village, they would never be welcome back. They would never be allowed to come back to their houses. And yet they left for Krishna. And when they went to Krishna, this is what Krishna said, that what the sacrifice you have made for me today, I will never forget. I will never be able to pay you in many, many lifetimes. Na pariyeham. I will never be able to repay you, gopis. You see, so sacrifice is the real thing. And especially for us, followers of Srila Prabhupada, our greatest devotion to the Supreme Lord, to Srila Prabhupada, is our sacrifice, is our ability and our willingness to take risk on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. And as we all know, that Srila Prabhupada gave us so much, but in turn, he wanted something from us. In 1972 was the first Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur Dham. And at that time, before the festival, was the disappearance day festival of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, which comes in December, January. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was sitting with a few of his American disciples. Jayaprataka Swami was one of them, and I heard the story from him. He was sitting there and he was glorifying his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami. And in glorification of his Guru, Srila Prabhupada paused and he said, every Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya has done something very special in Sridham Mayapur to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his personal offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what he said. And then he cited example. He said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went door to door in Calcutta and he begged money and he built the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that was his personal offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And my Guru Maharaj, he built 63 temples all over India, of which the biggest temple was built by him in Sridham Mayapur. At that time, nobody came to Mayapur. There were no roads. Even then, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj built the biggest mutt in Mayapur as his personal offering to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then in saying that, Srila Prabhupada, he folded his hands. He folded his hands to his own disciples and he said, I thank you very much, you boys and girls, for helping me to build this temple, the big temple that Srila Prabhupada talked about since 1971, since the land was purchased. Thank you very much, you boys and girls, for helping me to build this temple so I can make this personal offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada started to cry. He started to weep so much that he was not able to speak anymore. This is all on tape, even now. So this was Srila Prabhupada's sentiment about Sridham Mayapur Mandir. He wanted to make his personal offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to bring every living entity, every human being of this planet to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, to Sridham Mayapur. Just like Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, he is saying that just like the governor and the important people, when they live in a certain house, that house is no ordinary house. So even though the island on Swetadweep, the Swetadweep island in the Milk Ocean, because Lord Vishnu resides there, even though it is in this material world, it is not in the material world. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada again and again in the purports of these books has told us, has explained to us, that Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Mayapur Dham are not in this material world. They have descended from the spiritual world in order to give that mercy to us living entities. For any living entity, if he even enters, if he even offers obeisances in the direction of the Holy Dham, if he even takes a little dust of the Holy Dham, if he meditates on the Holy Dham, if he simply says, Sri Mayapur Dham ki jai, he will get enough sukriti. This is a fact. This is our Shastra. He will get enough sukriti to go back home, back to Godhead. This is the magnanimity of the Holy Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham and Sri Mayapur Dham. Isn't it, Prabhuji? As all of us know, that before Srila Prabhupada left this planet, he made Mayapur Vrindavan Trust. At that time, money was such shortage. So many projects were going on. Money could have been used for development. But Srila Prabhupada put a fixed deposit of 10 million rupees. That was a lot of money at that time. 10 million rupees he put in fixed deposit. And he said, if you boys and girls somehow or the other are not able to carry on with what I gave you, at least maintain Mayapur and Vrindavan temple from the interest of this money. That money is still sitting in the bank. That was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He knew that if worship was going on in the holy dhams, then there is a chance for the living entities to be able to become liberated, to become Krishna conscious. And of all these two places, Srila Prabhupada said, he said, Vrindavan is my home, Bombay is my office, and Mayapur is my place of worship. He called Mayapur his place of worship. So for all of us who worship Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the line of Srila Prabhupada, we have to take this project of Mayapur very, very seriously. It is our good fortune that this project is manifesting itself in our lifetimes, in the maturity of our lifetimes. If this temple was built 40, 50, 40 years ago, none of us would have been able to participate. Or if this temple is to be built another 30 years later, we will not be able to be of any service in this temple. Everything is bhav. Everything is mood. If you see it in this mood, we can all come together. We can all participate in this building of this temple as the greatest benediction. We should see it as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting again in our lives in the form of this temple. Because Nityananda Prabhu, he made a prediction to Jiva Goswami. He said, Iha eka adbhut mandira, hoibe prakash. Iha means right here. He showed him right there. Iha eka adbhut mandira, hoibe prakash, gorangor nitya seva, hoibe vikash. That right here there will be a manifestation of an adbhut mandir. Astounding temple will come here. And from here, the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go all over the world. I want to inform you devotees that right now there is 150 9 to 11 story buildings in Mayapur. Over 3,000 apartments are already there. There are over 4,000 international devotees from 32 different countries residing in Sridhar Mayapur. So already Mayapur is becoming an international Vaishnav city. When you enter Mayapur in the evening, from 20 kilometers away, you see these devotees doing Sankirtan. All over you can hear Harinam. The Ganges is flowing. This is the place that needs to be worshipped by all the Vaishnavs of the world. Our ISKCON society has over 1 million devotees and congregation members. Already we have influenced so many people to become Vaishnavs, to identify themselves as devotees of Lord Krishna. Mayapur is the place to which we look. Just like the Muslims, when they do their namaz, when they do their prayers in the evening, they face to where Mecca is. Where Mecca and Medina, their holy dham, they face in that direction and they offer their prayers. Let every Gaudiya Vaishnav also face towards Mayapur and chant his Gayatri. Let Mayapur be the worshipable place. This should be our one focused attention in our lifetime so this temple can be completed. Our Ambarish Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, so kindly has made a great sacrifice. He has given already over $30 million to start this project. The superstructure of this project is already completed. We require another $60 million in order to complete it. We hope to do this project by 2022, which is the 50th anniversary of Sri Mayapur Temple, of Mayapur Project. And all of us need to put our energies, our bhakti, our attention into this project. We all have a lot of work to do for Srila Prabhupada, for ISKCON movement, but yet we have more to do. You know, when I was a young boy, my father was a rich man, so I obviously grew up very spoilt and lazy. So one devotee, he came to my father's house to collect some money from him for donation for Mayapur. And he was preaching to me. And in his preaching, he told me, he said, you know, our Guru Maharaj, he said, life is not meant for working like cats and dogs. I said, oh yeah, what is life meant for? He said, life is meant for chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasad. So as a young, spoiled, lazy bum like me, I said, this is great philosophy. Life is meant for chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasad. I want to be a devotee. So in wanting to pursue that life of chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasad, I went with him and joined Mayapur. So next morning, they gave me a broom, and they said, this long building, you see, there's 200 bathrooms here. You have to clean all of them. I said, what happened to chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasad? He said, that is only in the mornings and evenings. Daytime, this is what this is what you do. We work. Devotee means you work 24 hours. And then after that, in 1978, I was sent to America as the first Indian to be a book distributor. And, you know, of course, I was working under our Prabhu Suradas Ji in Dallas. And and all the chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna Prasad went out the door. I was out 6 in the morning to sometimes 11 o'clock at night distributing books. But I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it now after 37 years that in this movement, Srila Prabhupada put me to work. And even now I'm 60 years of age and I'm proud that I have the mercy of the Supreme Lord of Srila Prabhupada that we have more work than we can perform. This is the kripa that a devotee takes, seva to be kripa. When more and more service is given to you, then that is kripa. More responsibility than you can handle, that is kripa. And therefore today, this morning, I come to you with folded hands that please, with all the responsibilities that you have, preaching in Los Angeles, keeping this temple alive, doing so many other projects and festivals that you do, please, let us somehow or the other make Los Angeles responsible. Take this responsibility also of building Sri Dham Mayapur. I'm just coming from Bombay, and in Bombay, we have set up an office with the leaders of Bombay Temple because Srila Prabhupada very much wanted Bombay to support all the projects of India. So we have set up an office there with the slogan, Mumbai for Mayapur, because Srila Prabhupada said, Bombay is my office and Mayapur is my place of worship. And now the devotees in Mumbai, they are scheming of different ways of how they can raise funds, how they can collect money, how they can spread awareness to be able to build the Sri Dham Mayapur temple. And this morning I was thinking that same thing we can do here in America. Srila Prabhupada was very proud of this temple of Los Angeles. He was very proud. He called Los Angeles his headquarters of America. Let this be the headquarters of America. Let Los Angeles of the Western world. Thank you very much. Yes, headquarters of the Western world. Let Srila Prabhupada's words come true. Let this temple, let us show the Western world that yes, we will take the first step. We will take the responsibility of spreading the consciousness, of spreading the word that Mayapur temple is being built. Dear devotees, this is the time that all of us should become enthusiastic. That let us somehow or the other serve Srila Prabhupada's desire. Srila Prabhupada, before passing away, he made a very remarkable statement. He said, your love for me will show as to how well you cooperate with each other. This is the time for us. We have not cooperated with each other on so many issues. But on this one issue of building Sri Dham Mayapur, let us all cooperate with each other. And let us make this wonderful offering as our Guru Dakshina to Srila Prabhupada. That my dear Srila Prabhupada, we have all worked together to build this wonderful temple for you so that you can offer it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as your personal gift. And that will be such a wonderful thing in our life. Like Sura Prabhu was saying this morning to me, he said, hey, you big shot. I said, yes, we all have a big shot at life right now. We all do. This is our big shot. This is our big chance to be able to do something so intimate for Srila Prabhupada. A seva that Srila Prabhupada would so much want us all to cooperate and do, and in time be able to offer Sri Dham Mayapur temple so that millions and millions of people from all over the world will be attracted to go to Mayapur to be able to see this temple. Big temples always attract. Big temples always attract living entities to come, and thereby we are able to give our philosophy and our culture to them. Srila Prabhupada one time mentioned, he said, the world will say, the Hare Krishnas, they came, they chanted, they danced, and then they went away. Therefore, you build temples. Because if you have temples, then you will be here to stay. Let us show the world that the Hare Krishna movement is here to stay for minimum 10,000 years by building this one temple. You know, the Swaminarayan people, when they opened their big temple in Delhi, their Akshay Dham, at that time, it is still there, it's in the newspapers, it's also in our ISKCON news. The Chinese government gave them an official invitation that we invite you and we will give you land in China to come and build a Hindu temple, this kind of Hindu temple in our country. This was their invitation. That invitation should have come to us, because we are the ones who've been preaching in China for the last 45 years, not them. We have over 5,000 initiated devotees in China today. That should have come to us. But because we do not have the Mayapur temple, that invitation went to them. Srila Prabhupada was able to foresee this plan of establishing Krishna consciousness on the face of this earth. And that is why in his pranam mantra, we say, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. You have established Krishna on Bhutal, on the face of this earth. And this is how Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish. One temple will be able to establish Krishna and our movement all over the world. So this is my prayer this morning to all of you, that please, let us seriously think about how Los Angeles temple, Los Angeles community can participate in building Sri Dham Mayapur temple. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Subhas Prabhu, would like you to endorse. I would like you to endorse the something. Say something. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Very potent. Thank you. We felt Mayapur Dham through you. But yes, the LA Temple would like to endorse whatever you said today, and we want to support whatever you said today. We should make it our project. We should. And as we've heard in so many circumstances, that if that temple is built, the ISKCON Society will make a surge throughout the world. And you've mentioned that so many times. So yes, I agree 100% with you. And I know that this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted also. Throughout my whole career as a devotee, we've heard this. This is not new business. This is old business that we need to do for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. That's wonderful. Yeah.
So we'll do our best, whatever we can. We'll try to use our brains to strategize what to do to help.
I was thinking, just like in the shloka today, that the demigods, they went to Lord Brahma and then they went to Lord Vishnu to pray for the strength to get back what they had lost. So also here, I remember when I was here 20 years ago, and we had the court cases. That time we had introduced a prayer in this temple. And as a young devotee, I was thinking, what is the prayer going to do? We have to do something. But then actually the prayer did come true, and within 1 year, we were able to win so many of those cases. So this is just a request. You can think about it. That if Los Angeles Temple would start one small, very short, one line morning prayer to Rukmini Dwarkadish, then my dear lordships, if you so desire, please engage us in building Sri Dham Mayapur Temple. And that will be wonderful and a great example for all the other temples in North America. So that is just one suggestion.
Jai, yes. Nice one.
Thank you very much. Any other comments?
Yeah, Prabhu, I have to say also that here a year ago we were just saying, but we haven't been repeating it. But really, you know, like whatever books that we distribute, like North American BBT, gives 25% of the gross income towards the Mayapur temple. Mm-hmm. And so devotees in New Dwarka, we should be thinking, every book we distribute, 25% of that book goes to Sri Dham Mayapur.
Wonderful.
So the more that we distribute, it's adding one more brick to the temple. So we should focus on that also. That's a good way to start. The prayer to Mayapur Dham, prayer to make more Sankirtan devotees, the prayer to be able to give more and more to Sri Dham Mayapur. That could be one offering that we can give immediately.
There's a small story that Giriraj Maharaj just recently wrote to me. He said one time in Bombay, when he was serving Srila Prabhupada, He told Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, all day I've been thinking about something. And Prabhupada said, what? He said, I've been thinking, what are the two most important things that you like amongst everything that we do for you? And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I think that you like book distribution and Mayapur project the best. And Srila Prabhupada's eyes opened up and he said, yes, you are right, Giriraj. So this is wonderful, tying it together, doing book distribution and giving the profits. Part of the prophets to Mayapur Dham would be a wonderful tapasya to perform. Any other comments from anyone? Sura Prabhu, say something.
To Dallas in 1978, and your name was Adi Rudha.
Yes.
And you were rich, intelligent, bhakta. And we called you Adi the Engine.
Yes.
Because you were the first Indian devotee that was going full-time book distribution. And you beat all the American boys.
One time.
You became very successful, and as I'm sitting here, listening to your lecture, I remember those days when you blossomed as a book distributor. And now, as a result of that book distribution, just like this last year, Savas was saying, devotees should know, $280,000 was sent from Los Angeles BBT to Sridhar Mayapur for international projects.
Hare Krishna.
Every year we're giving about $250,000. We hope to make it $300,000. So we want to do our part and be connected with you for the rest of our days.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I think later today we are going to be having a meeting with Subhas Prabhu. And one of the discussions is going to be that I think he wishes to invite Ambarish Prabhu and his wife to Southern California and hold programs so that more people in the congregation can hear about the Mayapur project and think about how they can participate. So that is going to be a wonderful, that's one of the reasons I'm here. And like this, I think if one temple, especially Los Angeles Temple, starts to take such a keen interest and sacrifice their time and energy into Mayapur Dham, then many other temples will take the encouragement from Los Angeles. So, L.A. for Mayapur. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.